Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake with Matt, as always. It's been a couple weeks, I believe. 2 weeks, week and a half.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. It's actually been hard to sit down together, even though we're both kind of at home.
Yeah, because like during the day, I'm working all day. And then at night, we have various activities,
Yeah. Obviously.
And I think also because we're like at the same place, it's easy to be like, oh, we'll do it this time, you know what I mean? Not like schedule something out.
Exactly. But we're here, we are ready to go. We've actually got some real sports stuff going on. Like, not just things happening around sports, but like actual, okay, well, the sports haven't started yet, but they're about to start.
Yeah, I was just watching the Premier League, so soccer's back. That was a very good game. The Liverpool-Everton game, that was the only one I was awake for.
Yeah, 0-0.
Nil-nil, but it's still a good nil-nil game. So we're going to talk about American soccer, American basketball, and then see what else we have to talk about as we're running out of time. But that's kind of the game plan right now. And I think we're going to start with the NBA because it's getting close to that Orlando finishing the season bubble situation. And, yeah, that's where we're going to start.
Perfect.
So here are the teams that are playing. So the standings, so in the East, it's everybody in the East playoffs made it plus Washington. So Orlando, Brooklyn, Philly, Indiana, Miami, Boston, Toronto, and Milwaukee. And then in the West, everyone in the playoffs made it plus Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, and Phoenix. So then the playoffs right now is Memphis, Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City, Utah, Denver, the Clippers, and the Lakers. So it's 22 teams. They're in Orlando. And I think Matt looked this up, but it looked like they broke up the hotels they're going to be staying in by like how good the teams were. Like the nicer teams got, or the better teams got the nicer hotels.
You know, that's how it was supposed to go. We were talking to our sister Annie, who's a great follow on social media if you don't. But anyway, she's very much into Disney. She did the Disney College program. She's very familiar with the hotels. And she seemed more excited about the two hotels that the worser teams are staying at. So the one I think that she seemed most excited about was the Grand Floridian.
She loves that one.
She loves the Grand Floridian. I think that part of the appeal, though, to that hotel is that it's very close to both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So in addition to being in a nice hotel, you're really close to both of those places. Obviously, though, the NBA players can't access either of the parks, and so that kind of gets negated. So that sort of makes sense. And when you look at where the better teams are staying, which Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, Clippers, Celtics, Nuggets, Jazz, Heat, the top four from each conference. The Grand Astino does seem like a better hotel, certainly for an NBA player who can't really leave or probably... I guess they could probably go swimming.
Well, they're not allowed to play doubles ping pong.
Yeah. They can't play those ping pongs. I'm not sure. But the point is the rooms seem a little bit nicer. Maybe the food seems a little bit nicer. And then the other thing that's close is it's close to the boardwalk. So they can at least, you know, look out over the water. I think that's something worth mentioning.
Yeah, I think because the tricky thing, like, I've heard so many mixed things on the bubble. Like, so I don't know if they can go swimming. I don't know if they can, like, what they can do. And then I've also heard, like, not the players, but other people can go in and out of the bubble, which defeats the point of the bubble, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen, but...
Right, you know, it's tricky. And Zach Lowe, in his article, interviewed somebody who made a good point, whose name I don't remember. But the NBA is going to have pretty limited access. I think they would like to make it so that the employees can't leave the bubble. But Disney employees have a union, and so... the NBA, even if they wanted to, it would be pretty much impossible for them to put in any sort of restriction there.
But again, and that defeats the point of the bubble. So NBA players, they might be like, well, they can leave. How come I can't? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it just creates a whole mess. But
sure. It's going to be tricky. You know, the thing that I saw that I think is going to make this very interesting is their anonymous tip line. So if you see somebody going outside the bubble or not wearing a mask or whatever, you can report them, and they potentially could have to self-quarantine for a couple of days.
Now, is it just players who can call that, or anybody?
That is a good question. I assume, like, I don't think that I could call it, but I assume that, like, Johnny Bryant or an athletic trainer could call it.
I could see, who do you think will call it the most? I think it'll be Chris Paul.
Seems like a Chris Paul thing to do.
Chris Paul be like, have that thing on speed dial, probably.
Yeah. My first instinct was the Patriots. Like, who is the team that is most like the Patriots that's going to be in this thing? And I don't think, like, Greg Popovich likes to take advantage of the rules as well. He should. This doesn't seem like a Greg Popovich thing. I could see the Lakers being the team that calls. Ooh, the Sixers, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say the Sixers.
Six, it seems like a Joel Embiid thing to do.
Yeah. Even if it's just like a prank, it seems like a Sixers thing.
Right, yeah. I feel like Giannis is going to be getting reported a lot. LeBron's going to be reported a lot.
Yeah. Now, the thing I'm curious about is, so NBA, it stopped playing in March. And I'm just curious, because, like, not everyone has had access to a gym, quote-unquote. So I'm curious to see, like, let's say Milwaukee, like, just none of those guys worked out at all. You know what I mean? So I think predicting who's going to do good in this mini tournament and the playoffs and stuff is kind of impossible. Because J.J. Redick had a quote. He was talking about, like, guys saying, I didn't have access to a gym. That's kind of bull blank is what Redick said. And he's like, I finagled my way into three different gyms during the quarantine, into access into three different gyms. So he was saying a lot of guys were making an excuse just not work out. And he was working out, but I'm curious how much of the league wasn't working out and how that's going to affect the playoff. Because other than Bojan Bogdanović for the Jazz, I don't think there's been a lot of injuries, or like the rosters are going to be the same pretty much.
Right.
But like, I don't know how this different the teams are going to look.
Yeah, you know, I think I would imagine that teams who expect to be in contention for a championship and who have players that it's important to, I mean, it's important to everybody to win a championship, but you're like Giannis's and LeBron's and Kawhi's, where it's really going to affect their legacy to win a championship. I feel like players on those teams and who know they have those sort of team captains looming over them, I feel like they're going to have worked out more than, say, the Nets or the Suns, the Nets probably have a lot better habits than the Suns, but if you don't expect that you're going to be going into the playoff, then there's obviously going to be less motivation.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to figure out who I want to win, obviously, besides the Jazz. I think I'd like to see Toronto back. It'd be interesting. I don't know how much a championship run would help Giannis stay in Milwaukee either way, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I think people are saying, oh, if he wins, he'll stay. I just don't think that's going to factor in too much.
Yeah, no, I think I'm interested to hear your opinion. I feel like unless something very strange happens next year, that he ends up staying pretty much no matter what.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay. I mean, you obviously never know, but I think he's going to stay. So he'll have this playoffs plus the full season next season before he becomes a free agent. I think he's going to stay. I don't see anyone out of the West besides the Clippers or the Lakers going to the finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I thought it was going to be the Jazz before. And I'm not as worried as the off-court tension between Gobert and Mitchell as some of the other players. I think having Bojan missing is going to be a huge problem. I think, in a way, it's going to be sort of a blessing in disguise, not for this year, but I think it's going to allow Mike Conley to handle the ball more and become a little bit more comfortable. So for next year, that could provide benefits. But yeah, you know, if it's not the Jazz, it's not going to be the Rockets, and it's not going to be the Nuggets, and I don't really think you have any choices outside of those five.
No, I think because I think OKC's sixth or in that top six, and I don't think they're really getting it done either. I think either Chris Paul should be MVP or Billy Donovan should be the coach of the year for Oklahoma City, just because we all thought they were going to be the worst team in the league, basically, and they're like in contention for that like second tier, you know what I mean? Like, so I think. I mean, it's hard to argue Giannis not being MVP, but maybe Billy Donovan, Coach of the Year, makes more sense than Chris Paul for MVP. I don't really think Chris Paul should be MVP, but I just think they don't get recognized for, like, how good of a season versus expectations they're actually having.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Coach of the Year makes more sense and a lot more likely. I don't know. People disagree what MVP is and what it's supposed to be. And I feel like that's why it's never clear. Like, if it was just supposed to go to the best player, we would give it to LeBron. If it was the player who had the most impact, well, it could still be LeBron. It's probably going to be Giannis. And the only other person really in the conversation would probably be Chris Paul. And that's sort of what I think it should be, is just the player who has the most impact on their team or who's the most valuable to their team. And if you frame it that way, it probably is Chris Paul. I just think that most voters don't really look at it like that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, other than Russell Westbrook's always been sewn on a top three team in their conference, like basically every year. So
yeah. Which I think is fair. Like, if you're really gonna be valuable, then it makes sense that you're getting the team into the top three. It's just that if you're Chris Paul, you don't have any all-stars on your team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the NFL needs to come up with a new name, just because it's basically the best quarterback, or the quarterback on the best team, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair, and like, that's important, but I just feel like it's kind of an arbitrary award at this point.
Yeah. What if they did a not quarterback MVP?
That's what I think they should have, like, a different category. Like, I know they have offensive, it's basically like offensive and defensive player of the year, is that's what that's become. And then MVP has just become quarterback. But I feel like we need to put more weight into the offensive and defensive players of the year. Like, just obviously, again, quarterback brings the most value.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think, like, recognizing those positions is important.
I didn't even know they had an offensive player of the year award.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm wrong. I was, like, sure they did. Because I mean, thought Barkley won it one year.
But
yeah, they did. And it was Michael Thomas.
That's a good pick. And this is an award that just goes to anybody who's not a quarterback.
Basically, yeah. 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 So basically, Michael Thomas was a non-quarterback MVP on offense. And I know Bosa was a rookie of the year. I forgot a defensive rookie of the year or defensive player of the year was, but I digress. So NBA. I'm interested to see Milwaukee. I'm interested to see Boston and Philadelphia. Not as interested in Brooklyn as I thought I'd be. Not interested a whole lot in Portland. Yeah, I think those, like, Boston, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, I think those are the teams I'm looking at as far as, like, interest. Because I feel like the West is going to come down to Clippers and Lakers, and LeBron's going to, like, I feel like there's more suspense in the East.
Yeah, I think so. I think that even though I think the Bucks are probably the best team in the NBA, I think that because they're very Giannis dependent and everything revolves around Giannis, if he has, you know, two bad games, I can totally flip a series, which I feel like is less likely with the Clippers and the Lakers. Now I've got some thoughts on this, but just real quick, why has your interest dropped in the Nets?
I don't know. I just thought they were going to be better this year, honestly.
And
like,
they just weren't?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I just – because I love – but I think with Kyrie and KD, and I know KD's not playing, but it's funner to cheer for the Nets when they're, like, the scrappy underdogs instead of, like, the superstar team.
Right,
you know what I mean? Because I have, like, a Nets Jason Kidd jersey. Like, I've never been a fan, but I've always, like, liked or supported the Nets a little bit. So it's not like I hate him or anything, but I just, like, it's not as fun to, like, cheer for him or follow him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think they're going to lose in the first round, no matter, because they're going to be playing either the Bucks, Raptors, Boston, or Philadelphia. I think that with Boston or Philadelphia, they're playing one of those teams, they could make it a good series. And, you know, Kyrie's is good enough a player where he can win a game or two, I think, against anybody, but. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're in the seventh spot, so they'd be playing Toronto. Like, I just don't think there's going to be any drama. Same thing with Orlando. Like, I just don't think there's going to be any drama in that series.
Yeah. Now, I will say that the first round of the Western Conference is going to be vastly more interesting.
Yeah, the second round of the Eastern Conference is the one I'm looking forward to the most. But the first round of the Western Conference, basically, I think one versus whoever's an eight isn't going to be great. But seven up, I think, is going to be... So those other three series, I think. Because it's going to be Dallas, Houston, Oklahoma City, Utah, Denver, and one of the LA teams. So I think all those series are going to be good. And I think Dallas... and Oklahoma City, or who's like, those are the lower teams. I think they could beat any one of those teams that they're playing. Dallas, maybe not, but they could take it to six, I think.
Yeah, I don't see Dallas winning a series. It's going to be fun, and they're a fun team to watch because Luka's so good.
Love Luka.
Congrats to you on being ahead of this, really before the Suns, I guess.
which I still don't get.
But yeah, no, the Rockets, I think, could beat anybody. The Thunder, the Jazz. The Nuggets, even though I don't see those four teams going to the NBA Finals, I think that any of them could get to the Conference Finals.
Think if the Suns would have drafted Luka Doncic, they'd either A, have Devin Booker and Luka Doncic, or B, like, because the biggest argument here from Suns fans is Luka Doncic doesn't fit with Booker. Then trade Booker, and think of the value you'd get for that if you traded Devin Booker. Like, the return you get... a couple players, you'd get at least, I think, like, you could get a couple good players, a first-round pick, plus Luka Doncic. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, you could trade Booker to, I don't know, like the Hawks could have traded for Booker because they were looking to buy up. You got to think the Nuggets maybe could have been interested in trading for Booker.
Like, I was thinking of the Nuggets as well, yeah. No, there's definitely a few teams that, like, because some of the contenders don't have the assets to get them, but there's some of those teams that are, like, fringe as far as, like, assets versus contender.
Yeah.
The Hawks would be, with Booker and Trae Young, that would be an interesting.
That would be fun.
That'd be fun to watch.
The Pelicans, I bet, could put together an interesting package.
Yeah.
I mean, the Thunder have all of the first-round picks.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Like, there's a lot of
that'd be really interesting.
That could happen.
But the Suns did what the Suns do and screwed it up.
Yeah, and see that's why I'm not really well. A, the Suns I think are too far back to get a spot. But like, you think anybody on the Suns besides Devin Booker has been training?
I don't know that Booker has, to be honest with you. Kelly Oubre, I think, is the most likely Suns player.
Yeah. I like Kelly Oubre. If there was a way to get him on the Jazz where he didn't have to get rid of anything, I would.
When there's a video of Booker complaining about being double teamed in like pick a ball last summer, that's when I started to question his like toughness, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't know that Booker was working out.
Yeah. So
he's good. But the Suns could have De'Aaron Fox too.
Yeah, they could have done that.
He's been much better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox has been good. He's very fast.
Yeah.
Kings, I don't think are going to be able to make a run. So.
Yeah, because they're just going right now. So the Grizzlies are 3.5 games ahead of the other teams in the West, basically, that they're competing for a spot for. And there's only 8 games, so there's not really a lot of room to make up. But. So I think Memphis is going to make the playoffs. That being said, I'd love nothing against Memphis, but I'd love Portland or New Orleans, especially like Portland, like Damian Lillard versus the Lakers, I think would be the most exciting possible matchup against the Lakers, even though we know the Lakers are probably going to win that series.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. What is interesting, and I think what helps Portland is basically if Memphis wins 5 games, they're in pretty much no matter what. Normally, I'd say Memphis just a random 8 games. I'd say they would probably do that. But really, they're only playing against playoff teams. And so that's going to bring the winning percentages of everybody way down. I don't see anybody having a winning percentage much higher than 60.
Yeah, I agree. You know what sucks is that this for the – I don't know if sucks is the right word, but I guess more ironic, because the Warriors, they have this one crap year, so they have the, like, one chance they're going to have a long time to get a lot, like, number one or top three pick. And it's, like, one of the worst drafts in forever. So
I don't feel bad for the Warriors.
I think that's somewhat ironic.
Boo-hoo, Golden State. You only have your three championships.
Because people are talking about they're going to be, like, back next year. Like, I still think it's going to be hard even when Steph and Klay come back. I don't think they're going to go back to that dominant team they were.
I think they're at least a three seed.
Like, I think they'll be, like, a top. They're not going to, like, rain terror on the NBA ever again. I think that's over.
You know, I mean, I guess they don't have Sean Livingston and, like, a lot of their role players aren't as good. But that year Steph won unanimous MVP, that was just so crazy.
That was unbelievable.
So good. Like, people, like, as soon as KD got to the team, people forgot how good Steph was. Like, I was one of the few, I'm one of the few people who thinks that Steph was the best player on those teams. And I know KD could do a lot more, but Steph was just so good at what he did do well, that it changed the entire way the teams defended them and also the way that they could play offense. And I think he was more impactful to the game and the way Golden State played than Kevin Durant was.
Yeah, that kind of goes into the value thing. Like, even if Kevin Durant was quote-unquote better, Steph was much more valuable mm-hmm. to those Warriors teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like when people say LeBron's a better all-around player, but Michael Jordan's a better player. What does that mean? What is the point of that? If you're a better all-around player, then you're just a better player.
Yeah.
So he's not a better all-around player. Maybe he's better at rebounding, but Michael Jordan's scoring is so much better that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know what sucks for those teams that aren't going to the Orlando whatever is that they are not going to play competitive anything for like 8 months, because like the season stopped in March and then like training camp doesn't start till November. So like I know the NBA doesn't care right now because they got bigger stuff to worry about, but like team like Golden State, Minnesota, Cleveland, Atlanta, they're not going to have any organized basketball for like 8 months. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of screwed. And again, like I'm not arguing like they should be victims, but it's just they are in a crappy position.
Sure.
Matt, let's talk about some soccer, shall we? Let's talk about MLS, because that's also going to be in Orlando. Those are the two major leagues that are having Orlando tournaments. And the MLS, the Major League Soccer tournament, how that works is there's six groups. So group playing soccer, like the World Cup, there's groups of four and you play each other. And then the teams with the top two teams move on to the actual tournament where it's like lose or go home. So this is kind of like the in-season tournament that for MLS is just happening all at once. And then they're going to figure out, because they haven't released or figured out a schedule or how many games they're going to play as far as the actual season goes. So this is kind of giving fans soccer while figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited. If I'm watching soccer, I'm probably going to want to watch the Premier League. Unless Real Salt Lake is playing. But I actually think this tournament's going to be a lot more exciting than, like, the regular season for the most part. Like, I think I'm much more likely to watch, like, a Portland versus Dallas game in this tournament than a regular season game.
Absolutely. I mean, and the other thing that I think is really important about this tournament is that whoever wins gets a berth into Champions League, which is huge. I know for Real Salt Lake fans, Champions League is very, very important, and that's something that we really care about. So for us to win this tournament would be enormous, and I think that we can. It's going to be hard. There's a lot of teams that would really, really like to win this tournament.
Yeah, because the problem with the NBA is before all this pre-corona stuff happened, they were talking about having a mid-season tournament like soccer, but the problem with the NBA, they don't have anything to incentivize. Like right. That, where with soccer, one of these bids is huge because Champions League, you get a ton more money, you get a ton more exposure, you're more likely to get better, quote unquote, free agents, like mm-hmm. other drawings, especially like in Europe. If you make Champions League in Europe, it's huge for your club. So it's not as big a stage as America or the North America Champions League tournament, but it's that same perspective of like financially, exposure, everything. So.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just go group by group real quick?
Yeah. I mean, the truth is that the only two groups that I'm like really interested are in are Group D and Group F. So let's go through the other four real quick, and then we can talk about those two groups.
Yeah, because out of all these groups, the top two teams are moving on. The first one, there's six teams. We were talking about this before the air, because the two, Nashville and Miami, it's their first year as a team. So they're figuring that out still. We think that's why they're six. But it's Orlando, Miami, New York City, FC, which is a stupid name, Philadelphia, who Kevin Durant is a part owner. It's of true. Philadelphia, and then Chicago and Nashville. Especially with Miami and Nashville, there's only been a couple games, so we don't really know what any of these teams are like. But I would expect it to be Philly and Orlando coming out of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that if this were just a regular season, I would expect New York to win the most games. Where are the Red Bulls, actually? Oh, the Red Bulls are in Group E. I expect New York, and one of the reasons that New York always does so well in the regular season is they play at Yankee Stadium, so their field is much smaller than the regular MLS field is. I think a lot of people don't realize this, but soccer is like baseball in that there's no set standard for how big your field has to be. And so whenever you have to play in Yankee Stadium, it's always very crowded, lots of short passes, kind of like what you would think of like baby football or futsal, where it's all really close together. So I'm curious to see how New York, they're not going to be able to rely on that style of play, how they're going to be able to adapt, and if they're going to be able to overcome that. I'm still going to pick them in Orlando to get out of Group A. I don't expect New York to go very far, but those are the two teams that I would pick.
Let's go to Group B, Matt. So that's Seattle, Dallas, Vancouver, and San Jose. I think this is the most lopsided group. You know what's weird is San Jose, a couple people who are like really smart think San Jose has the best coach in all of North America in any club, but they're so bad. It's not his fault. It's just like players are so bad.
Right.
But I think Seattle and Dallas are kind of going to run away with that group.
The only problem I see with that, and I mean, those are certainly the two most talented teams, Seattle has a habit, less so last year, but the 2, 3, 4 years before that, they had really terrible first halves of the season, and then they did really well the second half of the season, made a run to just barely squeak into the playoffs. And then after that, once they got into the playoffs, they were able to go on and win the MLS Cup several times. But they struggle in the first half of seasons, and if that happens again, you've only got 3 games, and then you're out of the tournament. So I think it's very possible that Seattle ends up losing this.
That would be interesting. I'd love that because I'm not a huge Seattle guy. Oh, the city I am. The team, not as much. But yeah. All right, Group C. So Eastern Conference again. So Toronto, who most Americans will like because they have Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore. New England, Montreal, and DC United. I honestly don't know what to make of that group other than Toronto will move on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy way to say it. I like DC United a lot last year. They lost Wayne Rooney. And me and you are both Wayne Rooney apologists. We don't think he's gotten nearly the respect that he's deserved, either in the Premier League or on England's national team. He was really, really good for them last year. And so him not being there really hurts them. I don't really trust New England. I know they've got Bruce Arenas. So I could see Montreal coming up and beating them out of it. But again, I would be kind of shocked if Toronto did not go through.
New England turned it on the second half of last year once they did get Bruce Arenas as the head coach. So we'll see. Let's do the last Eastern Conference group real quick. So there's Atlanta, FC Cincinnati, who was the worst team in the league last year, New York Red Bulls, and Columbus Crew. I think we both are high on Atlanta. It's kind of the same, like Atlanta and then somebody else. Probably I'd guess the Red Bulls, but I think it'll come down to the Crew or the Red Bulls for that second spot.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Columbus. Atlanta, they are not as good as when they won the MLS Cup a couple of years ago when they lost Miguel Almiron. That really, really hurt him. Because he was just so good. He was probably more important to them than even Josef Martínez was, who scored all those goals largely because of Almirón. Yeah, Cincinnati, don't expect a lot from quite yet. New York Red Bulls are good, not as good as in years past, and so I'm going to go with the Crew.
Almirón is killing it in England right now, Newcastle.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
Yeah, so he's gone from Atlanta and Atlanta, in the much tougher Premier League. He's obviously not dominating, but he's doing very well up there as well. All right, so we got Group D and Group F. Group D is our favorite one. We're obviously biased, but Real Salt Lake, Sporting Kansas City, Colorado Rapids, and Minnesota. All four, well, Colorado's not that great, but very good teams. Real Salt Lake and Sporting Kansas City hate each other, and then Real Salt Lake and Colorado, that's a huge rivalry game as well. Mm-hmm. Sporting wasn't even good good last year, actually, but they have one of the best coaches. They're consistently one of the top teams in the league. I think it's going to be Real Salt Lake, and I would bet Sporting, but Minnesota, I think, is pretty good, so I could see them beating Sporting for that second tough spot.
Yeah, Real is certainly the favorite in this group, given how Kansas City played last year. I think you're totally right. It is going to be Sporting or Minnesota for number two. I'm going to go Sporting. But this one's going to be fun. This one, I think, across all of the matches, is going to be the most intense. Because even when, like, say, Kansas City plays Minnesota, there's not really a rivalry there. But knowing that you're not just trying to beat Minnesota, you're trying to beat Real Salt Lake out of the tournament. You're trying to beat Colorado out of the tournament. So I think this one is going to be the most aggressive. This is going to be the group with the most on the line. And like you said, this might be the best group top to bottom, this one or the next group that we're going to talk about. So
yeah, I was going to say the next group, they have both the LA teams, LAFC and the Galaxy, Portland, who's always good, and then Houston. Who they don't have the reason Houston's so good is it's just so hot there. Like, they have a really good home record just because of how hard playing in Houston is. So they'll be missing that as well.
Sure. Well, I mean, it is hot and humid in Florida too. Not quite as hot and humid as Houston.
That's true.
So Houston, they are going to be used to the climate more so than Real would be.
Houston just seems like such a weather-wise terrible place to live, just on everything. I haven't been there. You have. You spent a little bit of time there.
Very hot and humid.
Great
food, though.
I bet.
Great food.
I can see the food being really, really good. I'm excited because I love the LA teams, watching both of them. I almost said Diego Vela. Carlos Vela, I think, is the best player in the league for LAFC. When I went to the LAFC game last year, it was such a fun stadium, super fun atmosphere, so super fun team to watch. Galaxy, they won't have Ibrahimovic. I think they're going to be fine without him. And I think those two teams are going to advance, but I think Portland's right there with the Galaxy. I don't think they're as good as LAFC. LAFC really crapped the bed in the playoffs last year. They were like the best regular season team in MLS history last year.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with them. I thought they were going to win the league last year. But yeah, you know, I think you're right. They have the most talent. I expect them. I'm actually going Portland with the number two spot. And I think I'm going with them because I think Ibrahimovic was more important for the Galaxy than maybe you do. I think, and I'm not saying this to you because you've been a supporter of David Beckham and, like we talked about, Wayne Rooney, but sometimes people in America are afraid of admitting how good these aging international players come in when they do come in. And sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're Frank Lampard, who's injured and doesn't come in for a long time. But Zlatan played really, really well for the Galaxy, and he was really important. And so I think they're going to feel that loss. And then I think Portland is going to be able to be that second team out of the group.
I think, to your point, it's hard for some, maybe a casual fan, to understand like how much better the Premier League is than MLS. Because it's not like going from like the NBA to, I don't know, like the G League. It's the MLS would be like the, this is just off topic, but like the 11th best league in the world or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even the best league in the continent.
Right.
So it's like they're so much better in Europe. And obviously, we talked about Almiron going from Atlanta to the Premier League and doing well. So it's not like every player in the MLS sucks. And, like, there are some really good players, but it's the overall quality of play is so much lower than these top European clubs. So the players who – I think that's probably hard for some of the European players when they come over is, like, adjusting to the style or level of play, probably.
Yeah, the style is different. And, like, obviously the Premier League is going to be very physical, but the MLS, I think it is a physical league. I think it's an athletic league. And then the passing ability of the players is probably a little bit lower, so that causes you to change your strategy a little bit as well. And as I say this, I want to be clear. I really like Major League Soccer. I think that, you know, sports isn't like once you reach a certain point, it's just fun to watch. And MLS is certainly, they're very good players and they're very fun to watch. And I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, the Premier League is better, so I'm only going to watch them. Like, I care a lot more about these teams, and that makes it a lot more fun. And so I'm very excited for this tournament.
Who do you think will win the tournament? So, again, the top two teams advance from each group we talked about, and then it's just going to regular tournament play at that point.
So one thing that I look at, and we didn't mention this when we were talking about the NBA, but I'm looking at teams who maybe historically have had a lot of problems with injuries doing a little bit better. So like the Clippers, I think this is really going to help the Clippers, having given Paul George and Kawhi Leonard just a little bit of time to rest, I think really helps. And so I think with Real, I think you're going to get a healthy Sam Johnson. You're going to get a healthy Justin Glad. So that's going to be really, really huge for Real Salt Lake. So Real is a contender. LA's got to be a contender out of the West, I would say one of those two teams. And then out of the East, I think Atlanta is going to be angry about what happened last year and be hungry to come back and win. So,
yeah, I think in the West, I think LAFC will win the whole thing. But I think the two LA teams, Real Salt Lake and Seattle, I think I'm higher in Seattle than you are. Picking LAFC, and then the East, I think it'll be between Toronto and Atlanta. I'd probably lean Toronto just to differ with you.
Okay, I like that.
I love Altidore, I love Bradley. I know they're not really at their peak anymore, but yeah, they're both good teams. You know who Atlanta got? Is Brooks Lennon, who I ran into because he's from Phoenix. So I'd run into him a couple, like the day before Thanksgiving one time at like a restaurant. I ran into him then some other random time he was there. So I've actually talked to him a couple. He has no idea who I am because he wasn't 100% in. How do you want to say it?
I want you to say it.
he was enjoying himself. He was making some memories. I don't know if he remembers me, but he's in Atlanta now, so cheer for him.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But yeah, I think it'll be LAFC and Toronto is my guess. But Toronto and Atlanta is like 50-50 in the East. Also, we got a little bit of time left. Oh, that took more time than I thought it did. Let's talk real quick about the Women's League, because their tournament is in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we can't go watch it, unfortunately, because as much as we've heard, there aren't spectators allowed. Otherwise, I'm really bummed. I know the tournament's in Utah because of the situation. Mm-hmm. So it's like we wouldn't be able to watch it anyway. But I wish we could go down and watch it. Do you just want to talk a few minutes about that for me? Because you know a lot more than me about this.
Sure, yeah. So this is going to be a very exciting tournament. NWSL, very fun to watch. Really high-quality league. As opposed to Major League Soccer, the NWSL probably does have the highest level of play of leagues across the world. We get the best players from the women's national team. And not only that, but we get the majority of Americans who are good enough for professional soccer, but not quite good enough to make the women's national team play in the NWSL. And those players are really, really good as well. And so a couple things that are different. There are only 9 teams. And it's hard to do, like, you could do 3 groups of 3, but then how do you pick 4 teams out of that? Or you do 2 groups, but 1 of 4 and 1 of 5, and that's not really fair. So they're not doing groups, they're just having everybody play each other. I think each team is going to play 4 games, and then after that, I think they're going to have a semifinal and a final. Yeah, four matches in the opening stage. Oh, and then the top eight go to single elimination. So there is a quarterfinal, semifinal, and a final. A couple things to note, unlike some of the other leagues, the NWSL is not going to punish players who do not come. So it'll be interesting to see with the NBA. We didn't really talk about that, but there's some players who don't want to come because of everything that's going on. And so I don't think the NBA said they won't punish them, but they haven't specifically said what would happen. So of note, Megan Rapinoe is not going to be there. It appears that Kristen Press is not going to be there, which is a bummer for us as Utah fans.
Yeah, and Rapinoe is probably the most recognizable women's player, at least in the United States, especially after the World Cup last year.
Yeah, after the World Cup, she's definitely the most recognizable player. So I think that hurts the NWSL. But teams to look for, North Carolina Courage are really, really good, and Portland Thorns. I'm rooting against Portland Thorns because they took Becky Sauerbrunn away from us.
Their jerseys are cool, though.
They do have cool jerseys. They have the best fan base in all the NWSL. And by the way, like Becky, she decided she lives in Portland. She's from Portland. She wanted to go play at home. That's fine. And I'm not angry at her. I'm angry at the situation. Like, obviously, you want the captain of your team to stay on your team.
Portland sports in general have a way of doing that. Like, just stealing players in the most annoying way possible. Like, the Blazers do it all the time with, like, restricted free agents, like, signing them tenders and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've done that to the Jazz. They made us pay Paul Millsap, like, twice as much as we're going to.
Lost Wesley Matthews.
Took Wesley Matthews from us. That was a bummer. So I do wish her the best as long as she's not playing Utah. But those are the teams to watch. Orlando Pride is another good one. Chicago Red Stars have the best jerseys in the Women's Soccer League, if you care about that kind of thing.
Those are pretty cool. And Julie Ertz plays for Chicago.
Yes.
Her husband plays for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes. Zach Ertz, great tight end. Probably not as good of a tight end as she is a soccer player.
No, because she's like a center defensive mid, so she's kind of like, I don't know, you can probably, but I view her kind of like the point guard of that U.S. national team last year.
Yeah, she is. And she was a center back, but she was just so good that they wanted to, you know, move her up to the field so she'd get involved more. She's the best defensive player in the United States right now.
She's so good. That women's national team was so, I mean, there was so fun, that 2019 run they had. That was it 2019? Was that just last summer?
Yeah, it was just last summer.
So long ago. Yeah,
it does seem very long ago.
That was a fun team to watch.
Yeah. Predictions, it's hard to pick against Portland, so I'd probably pick them. My dark horse, I would pick Utah. I know that there's not going to be home fans, but being used to the altitude and the climate, getting to live. It's a good question. I don't know if they're going to live in their own homes or if they're going to live
in a bubble.
I do know that several of the players for Utah do live together kind of as roommates in rooms that the team provides for them. And so I'll be surprised if those players have to move. I don't know about like Amy Rodriguez, who lives in a house with her husband and her kids, what she's going to have to do.
You know, Kelly O'Hara is like my favorite player ever. Mm-hmm. And she plays for Utah, so I'm very happy. Yeah. I should get her jersey.
You should get her jersey.
That'd be dope.
Jersey. And she is going to play. She's in Utah right now, so.
I've tried to meet up with her. By that, I mean, I haven't actually tried. What? I haven't actually tried. I've just hoped I'd run into her. So trying is probably a bad
choice. Yeah, how would you even just, like, sit outside the practice field like, oh, hey, I didn't notice you there.
No, it's more just like, oh, it'd be cool if I ran into Kelly O'Hara type of thing.
So you didn't try at all?
I haven't put any effort into it. It's more just trying to think it into existence.
Okay. I hope that you get to meet Kelly O'Hara.
That'd be cool. But yeah. That took more time than I thought, honestly. Because we had a couple of things back up we could talk about. But we're like 45 right now, so we'll wrap it up. I am excited for these things to actually start playing because the NBA and I think MLS, but they're not starting until like July, so we still have a while.
Yeah, NWSL, that's a good thing. They're going to start June 27th, which is just a week from
next Saturday.
Yeah. So, oh, it no, it's going to be Saturday.
Sweet.
So yeah, that's going to be very exciting. Finally have a local soccer league back.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to be talking until then, until the NBA starts, it'll be a lot of Premier League stuff in this NWSL tournament. Cause I don't know how much more we can talk about baseball owners sucking.
Yeah, that's just kind of it is where it is.
They're just terrible, yeah. It's been fun. Again, if you're at this point, you've probably already done it, but feel free to leave a 5-star review. Matt, it's been a pleasure.
It's been good.
It's been fun. We're going to go wake our mom up from a nap, because that's what she's doing right now. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you later.